Hello there, Internet! It's so good to see you. You've joined back at the table to where we're all eating delicious meals in celebration for tomorrow, which is St. Valentine's Day. Is that right?
Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
No, please. No more wine. Not now. No, thank you.
No. We've had too many already.
We've had too many.
I'll take some.
Oh, cool. Saucy Minx with Imran Khan. Getting some more of the wine. And it has to be red wine, because it's Valentine's Day, guys. I mean, come on. Just pass this around. All right.
Welcome to this, our Valentine's Day special on February 13th, 2012, the day before Valentine's Day.
That's right. And we're so pleased that you can join into the festivities with us. And it's a full family table here.
I will die alone.
Oh, man.
That's Mark Bradshaw.
I'm just waiting for the sitcom of like Imran and Mark living in New York as eligible bachelors.
Oh, yeah, man.
Hitting the streets and, I don't know, wooing women with their tales about video games.
That's right. That'll work. You guys have an awesome party pad. Just like,
yeah.
You have a big TV in every room.
The amount of electronics in that apartment would just be a fire hazard.
Yeah. You guys would throw parties and they would have...
You need to get the Mythbusters to build you a safe apartment or something.
Connor,
I don't know why
them
specifically. I mean...
Anyway, I would like to announce my new Kickstarter. If you donate, it's a goal of $250. And, if I meet that goal, I will use it to buy a Vita.
Ooh.
Which I actually won't.
I thought you were going to say it would be a Kickstarter to fund the game that you are tentatively calling Rent.
Specific purpose of buying a Vita, I would then use the money to instead buy Tales of Destiny 2.
For what system?
Oh, the PS1. Because, I mean,
right.
It's
the only. I didn't know.
I have that game.
You have a $250 game, and I hate you.
I have an open $250 game, so it's probably worth a lot less.
Yeah. No, it's about the same.
Speaking of Kickstarters, and completely aside from the point anyways, so this morning on our Twitter account, twitter.com/NitroBeard, or #!/NitroBeard, you can type it either way. So I was just saying good morning and saying hello to people, and our good French-Canadian man, Poik, said hello, and I asked him if we'd ever see the video game he was working on, Buttman Forever, and he said it was going to come out in 2025, at which point I said, depending on what quarter releases, if it has a 13-plus ESRB rating, that means my unborn son will be able to play it, and Wes's unborn daughter.
That's right.
And Matt's unborn daughter, and Tyler's unborn daughter.
That's right.
Goddamn. So anyways... and so then Poik replies to me, what if I make a game your unborn son could play now?
Brilliant.
So I said in that case, surely at Tim of Legend would donate $1,681,000 to fund the development of the game.
of an embryonic.
Yeah. It would be like Existenz somehow.
Can you imagine what that manager meeting? Because Lord knows Activision's probably thought about this. There's one demographic that we haven't hit yet, and it's
unborn people.
It's people who aren't actually born yet. What can they relate to?
And it's the game is actually just subliminal messaging to the fetus saying, "You will buy
my Electronic Arts."
Wait, I got it. You know how making a fetus listen to classical music is supposed to make it smarter, right?
Right, right.
So combine that with Guitar Hero.
So
you have a direct stake in the game with how your kid is going to function in life.
Just doing nothing but Yngwie Malmsteen.
Oh, fuck up the rhythm section. Damn it. There goes his college career.
Yeah. Oh, now he's going to be left-handed.
But yeah, so that was absolutely insane that Tim Schafer, for anyone who doesn't know, Tim Schafer, one of the guys who worked on a lot of the old original Adventure games, Grim Fandango, and Curse of Monkey Island, or, well, I guess Double Fine has people that have worked on those.
Yeah.
But
Full Throttle,
and more recently Psychonauts, which is a game I love, but has gotten a lot of flack.
Mark,
what do you say about Psychonauts?
I didn't like it.
I say that was a mediocre platformer with really good writing. And that's about the best I can say for it, because it's
a series of good ideas with bad mechanics.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I actually like Psychonauts.
It's good writing.
Whenever you said it was decent platforming with better than average writing, that makes it better than the other 90% of platformers, in my opinion.
Joust was a piece of shit.
That's it. I'm done with this fucking podcast.
That's it. It's over.
Drop the mic.
It's like, I'm outies.
Yeah, so you started a Kickstarter to welcome back, Mark.
Yes.
To fund a new adventure game that Double Fine would make. And like, it went in 24 hours and made like $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, he asked for $400,000, which was at the time the highest amount any Kickstarter had asked for. And then he got the $400,000 in about the first 2 hours. Then from there on, it just kept raising.
Right, it just skyrocketed. It was absolutely insane.
To put this in perspective, do we know how much his like XBLA games cost to develop?
Is $2 million. That's what he says.
Right, and he said the budget for Full Throttle at the time was $1.5 million, which nowadays means it would be like
$12 trillion.
Right, yeah. It would be the entire bailout is how much it would cost. Yeah. So good off to you, Tim Schafer. I bet he's a happy fucking guy right now.
Damn it.
Him and his whole crew. So
have they said what they intend to do with the extra money? If they're going to go to extra games, or are they just
they're cocaine. They're planning on also paying. I think two player productions. I think it was one of the teams that has done Penny Arcade TV, the show, you know, following around
Mike
and Jerry and the whole Penny Arcade. I think it was two player productions.
Yeah,
so they're hiring them in order to kind of fund a documentary about the whole process of making the actual game.
That'd be great.
Whether it fails or does well or whatever. So I know they're doing that with some of the extra money, and I don't know what else. I guess just, you know, bumping up quality. It was kind of hilarious because while it was going on, you know, Tim Schafer, you know, sending out tweets, he was like, you know, wow, that's amazing. In honor of some game, you know, if we reach $800,000, I'll add RTS elements. If it then reaches 1 million, I'll take them out again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I couldn't get a straight answer as to how much money I have to pay to get an apology for Brutal Legend.
I think Penny Arcade addressed that today
in their
comic.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I hate being behind Penny Arcade because that means I'm either late or even more creatively bankrupt than Penny Arcade.
At least you're not behind VG Cats, because if you're behind VG Cats, you'd either be late or dead.
Yeah, there's only one website, past VG Cats, and that's 80stees.com.
I wonder how Control-Alt-Delete's doing nowadays.
Ugh.
Oh, apparently they had this like massive arc that they were doing. And at some point, he was just like, well, this arc is going to take too long. So he wrote all of it as a novella, which is like 48 pages.
Oh, Jesus.
That's CAD. That's CAD, not VG CAD.
No, yeah, that was Control-Alt-Delete. And it's the worst written thing I've ever seen. God, I wish I want to go pull excerpts from it now.
Is it worse written than a post on Kotaku.com about Sonic fan art?
Yes, but that's because I didn't read their post on Kotaku.com about Sonic fan art.
Right. I guess you don't really need to read a post on Kotaku.com about Sonic fan art.
I linked it, and I got distracted and
So I heard there's Sonic fan art on Kotaku.com.
Yeah. I heard they had hard-hitting coverage on Kotaku.com of Sonic fan art.
Thank you.
Oh, I still can't tell the difference between Kotaku and the joystick. I assume one has some semblance of journalistic integrity and produces good shirts, and the other is Kotaku.com.
Yeah.
I can't tell the difference between Kotaku.com and, like, I don't know, insert celebrity news site here that's just full of shit.
It's all the same.
Right. Breaking news, Sonic took a shit!
It's a big one!
Yeah, they take a big shit every year.
And then they do a post update afterwards. It's like, false alarm. We're sorry to bring you that coverage. But yet they still keep the entire article up. Because somehow it was news that they made a news story.
What I love is that, like, a lot of these gaming sites, like Rock, Paper, Shotgun, you know, if they review a game, it's called, like, What I Think or What I Think. And, you know, some others just say review. Kotaku feels the need to say, you know, Super Stardust Delta, the Kotaku review. You know, Little Deviant, the Kotaku review.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought they didn't do reviews. I thought they just aggregated reviews.
I don't know. Let's find out. I'm going to look
at it. I mean, that may have changed, but
Little Deviant, the Kotaku review.
before we go any further, I'd like to apologize to our viewers and culture as a whole for promoting Kotaku.com.
Yeah.
And, like, giving them hits and stuff.
No, you're right. I really apologize that. I haven't visited that site in a year. Well, I don't know about years, but...
Like 15 minutes ago while we were looking up topics for today's discussion.
Yeah, that must have been it.
Yeah.
There
has to be a better site. It's like maybe Destructoid.
Okay. Well, let's talk about real quick other video gaming news sites that we visit. Although I don't know if we're like, quite a video gaming news site, but
we don't pay anyone enough to be news. Like
no.
we do a good job when we have like 3 updates a week. We can't do news.
Yeah, we
do better when we have regular content. But you know, we podcast is the main thing. But anyway, so. Excuse me. The main sites I go to: Rock Paper Shotgun, which is of course like all PC gaming news. Evil Avatar, which has been going to for a while, which does mainly PC stuff, but they do a lot of other console stuff. Other than that, I get a lot of it just through Twitter.
Yeah, that's what I do. I follow a lot of writers on Twitter, but I don't really go to. I mean, unless it's something like an editorial they specifically wrote.
Right.
It's like, oh, so and so put up a new deal on Destructoid, and I'll go read it. So I just follow the people, not necessarily. I think that time of, well, I agree with everything this website says is over. You know what I mean? Because there was a time to where people would make a claim.
Unless, of course, it's NitroBeard.com.
Yeah, of course. And those gentlemen are sexy.
Damn right they are.
God damn.
But, and a couple of them are eligible ladies.
You just wanted to have kids to continue on this podcast.
Oh, can you imagine the Nitro Beard family gatherings? Like if we had a big family reunion at
it's
like
gotta happen someday.
Old nasty picnic tables and like there's ducks walking around that we have to feed bread to.
Have to?
We have to.
We have to.
Those ducks are part of the family, man.
The duck family.
The duck Nitro Beard family. They're representing out on the lakes. But there's weren't we talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago about how the whole Kickstarter thing is going to be kind of the wave of the future?
Well, Valve has been talking about it for about 2 years.
Yeah, Chris Avalon, one of the writers behind Fallout New Vegas, but his major claim to fame was Planescape Torment, put up that, hey, Obsidian is thinking about making a new RPG, and the Kickstarter crew can tell us what they want us to make, and we'll make it.
Yeah.
So odds are good that we're going to see another isometric, Infinity Engine style RPG from them.
The problem is, $1 million or $2 for Double Fine, I'm sure that's going to be a decent amount for a graphic adventure. For, like, an RPG or an action game, that's never going to be enough.
It's true.
It might be if they specifically use, like, the Infinity Engine.
Right.
Like,
right, if they use this, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess they just need sprites for that, and they're fairly low-rent sprites anyway. My question is, I really want to see what kind of new levels of jank Obsidian can put in using, like, isometric graphics. I want to see them step up their game with this.
Yeah. Well, you can play Icewind Dale, too. It was still Black Isle, but that was literally today's Obsidian team.
Yeah.
So, it was good times. And
the weird thing about Icewind Dale is, like, you know, nothing, like, jumped or like disappear.
Yeah. It's true. Oh man, we're reading through some of this as a side note, some of this CAD comic. Oh, this just screams.
Also, I'd like to apologize to culture for promoting CAD.
Maybe we can rename it. What's the
Tim Buckley is a pedophile?
What's the Apple, like, spacebar period, Apple key Q.
Oh, right, it's a...
That's what we're reading. We're reading spacebar, Apple key period, Q.
We're reading shift F4 is what
shift
we're reading.
Shift F4. we're typing in format C colon. No, let's not. We shouldn't.
IP configs / renew.
Ethan's eyes are fixed on the backpack in front of him as Lucas's voice echoes around him. Throughout this tournament arena, there are currently 11 active game stations. Every 3 hours on the hour, they will load up a new game. You will receive points based on your performance. If you do not participate in the tournament game being played, you receive 0 points. He didn't even put the end quotation marks there.
You can't.
He doesn't anywhere.
You can't hear or see this, but there is blood coming out of my ears.
he crouches down. peering out as he watches for any sign of his opponents. High above, dozens of round industrial lamps bathe the arena in light, and he gets his first good look at the world beyond the short plywood walls. Straight ahead, sheets of rusty corrugated steel reach up all the way to the ceiling, which itself is a massive network of pipes and ductwork at least three stories up. An old warehouse or a factory, he says. A row of windows aligns the wall just shy of where it meets the ceiling. Most of the glass is broken, and they're all boarded up from the outside.
I'm not sure at what point we unilaterally decided to read this as like an old horror story. But wait, Ethan was crawling up next to him. Terrible.
See, the thing about this is, like, I used to teach a creative writing class, and this is exactly like that, except those were 13-year-olds.
Yeah, this guy makes his living.
Not drawing. That's not what he does well.
Yeah, no shit.
Real quick, I want to do a rundown of Nitrobeard search queries.
Yeah.
The weird and wacky ways people have found Nitrobeard.com by searching for things that aren't related to Nitrobeard.com. And so we're getting fucking quirky hits again somehow from Bing this time. It's from Bing this time.
I thought it was fucking done. What's going on?
I get it. It's ruining everything. So we had a search hit from, I don't know, .com.br. Is that Brazil? I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
For https://www.warioworld.com/nitro. And the result it gave was a post Imran made back in June.
About the cafe.
Right. So and it's got this screenshot of a Google search result with a red box around warioworld.com/wienerpoop.
Yeah, great. Nintendo was trying to hide the name of the Wii U at the time. And I guess they just put that as like the name that they figured nobody would ever find.
Yeah, but it was found.
Wiener poop.
In retrospect, there was no need to hide the Wii U name because who the fuck would think they'd name it Wii U?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't want the name in general out there, like cafe or anything like that, and yet it was just sort of on Google as Wiener poop.
All right, so we got another Google image search result for Bird Halo. Two different words, and it's a picture of Bjork wearing a swan dress that we posted on our site.
Oh yeah,
at some point apparently.
We did that way back.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Mark's fault.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got a lot for our Tosis, which is a StarCraft player.
Yeah, he's a commentator. Okay. He lives in Korea.
We got a search for Alpha Popomol, which I'm very happy about. We always get these one, which is something versus Undertaker. So this one is Goated Gonzalez versus Undertaker. Undertaker WrestleMania. Let's see, the Undertaker first match.
Wow. All right.
I'm happy that we did get a hit from Russia for Remington Super Slam Hunting Alaska.
Oh, Jesus.
That exists, does it?
It does. Once again, Mark is to thank.
With the wall abuse.
Let's see. Jumpcast. We got a hit for Jumpcast.
That's yeah.
It's not doing too badly in terms of downloads.
Good deal, man. Yeah, everyone should just go on iTunes and subscribe to that.
Right, yeah. I'm going to add that to the page later tonight. Let's
subscribe
see.
To iTunes?
Yes, to all of it.
Yeah, subscribe to iTunes on
it's
Facebook.
It's going
to
take a while.
let's see, we got a hit for Mass Effect reuse assets, because Imran wrote an article back in May about asset reuse. That one's not that funny, though. Sorry. Zelda, okay. This guy must have been searching for intro, but he searched Zelda Skyward Sword Nitro.
Yes.
So that's cool with me. Chuck E. Cheese Munch's Make-Believe Band. And that goes back...
Oh wow, man, that's episode like three.
I think it was brought up again in a wallet abuse Mark posted in May.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
About the nightmarish childhood ruining visage of Munch's Make-Believe Band. But yeah, the original one of that went back way back. Diablo 3 eBay like listing. Deus Ex Beard. We gotta get tons of stuff for that. We got a hit for hot fries.
I always eat hot fries, man.
Can anyone place that one?
That's me, sure. Man. I always mention those red hot fries that you can buy for like a dollar at the dollar store.
Like handicap fries.
Yeah, exactly. Like hot fries.
Chess hot fries, or is it like Nitro Beard hot fries?
No, it's just in quote hot space fries.
Why would someone search that on Google?
It apparently comes from Beardcast 64.
Yeah. So let's see, we got WWE Crush Hour art drawing.
Oh no.
Mark, can you help us out with the placement of that?
I'm pretty sure I talked about WWE Crush Hour at some point.
And it's why it goes to an image of Mad World, I believe.
Really? Why would I do that?
I don't know. So we got there's a hit for not
I apologize
NBO.
To everyone association.
Not what? NBO.com with GAMS. Oh shit! How did this happen? Oh god, alright, so this is the best thing. We have a search result, Google image search for. Hold on, I can't do this.
You gotta start out now.
Imran, read this.
Hand reaching for ham and cheese sandwich.
Hand reaching for ham and cheese sandwich.
And it came to Nitro Beard.
Somehow, this is really weird because when you click it, actually goes to joystick.
Wow, how did we pull that off?
I'm trying to figure this out.
Okay, so
it's really weird.
Okay, let's all go a quick little round table. What would you need a picture of this for? For a hand reaching for a ham and cheese sandwich?
I don't know, maybe this is like Subway's PR department at work or something, you know?
Well, tell you right now, I want a fucking ham and cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
But do you care about the hand reaching for it? Is it the journey that's involved?
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like in Mark's wallet abuse back in May for the horrible secrets of the 3DS, he embedded an image on NitroBeer.com that, I don't know, may have originated from joystick or something. So, yeah, 3DS is not actually a ham and cheese sandwich. That's it. I'm happy.
Although, in guessing hand reaching for ham and cheese sandwich, I noticed a picture of a ham and cheese sandwich with, like, a dozen broken eggs, like fried eggs, just on top of it.
Wonderful.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that's pretty much that's a roundup of some of the searches we've had in the last week. Let's do it to Sonic. What? Let's move on. Our site, NitroBeer.com. Go visit it.
I've been watching Blaze Hedgehog, Brian, Shadow the Hedgehog on Ustream lately. That game looks awful. Like, I thought, you can clearly see the beginnings of Sonic 2006 in that game. Like, how badly it controls, how there's, like, 45-minute long levels.
Ooh.
It's the most ridiculous thing.
That's crazy. Is this an ongoing thing that he's doing?
There's 11 endings. I think he said he's going to try and get all 11.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And apparently the last ending, like, it tries to tie in every other possible path.
Oh, great. So they're all canon?
Yes.
So if you take your save file from what game is this?
Shadow the Hedgehog.
Shadow the Hedgehog. Can you load that into, I don't know, Sonic the Hedgehog?
I would hope not.
I would hope so. I hope it tells like a long tapestry of stories reaching back.
Can you slam in your Sonic and Knuckles cart and do a Xbox 360 memory pack reader add-on that jams into that?
How do we not have like lock-in technology for like XBLA games now?
That's a good point.
Why can't I bring Bionic Commando 2 guy into Bionic Commando 1?
Right. And it'd be dirt cheap to do.
Clearly they should be paying me money for these ideas.
Yeah.
Hired Imran as the video game Slamming conceptualizer.
Dude. Guy who repeats things from the 16-bit era.
Yeah, I got it. Let's make a camera for your handheld, and then have a printer that hooks up to that camera, just like Game Boy printer.
But a really shitty printer that people will use anyway.
Oh, it looks like a receipt tape printer. It's huge, man. It's like the size of a Bible. It's massive, but like actual
Gutenberg Bible.
Yeah, it's like the old actual retranslated Sanskrit Dead Sea Scroll Bible. Like a huge book. You just set it down.
know, this is why people keep getting upset about the 3DS attachments, like the Frankenstick and the little Virtual Boy pad that they have going on for it now, the stand. It's like, they've been doing this forever.
Oh, yeah.
And they've just been throwing stupid shit they attach it to their handhelds. You can't stop them. I mean, if anything, they're a little more restrained than they used to be.
Because
you don't actually see the printer now.
And they don't know what to do with all the money they're making. You know, so they have to find some sort of, I bet it's money laundering. I bet they opened the division to make the Game Boy camera, and then
found that it could be used for printing money.
Yeah, like it literally does print money. That's probably where that joke came from. We're all in the Illuminati now because we figured this out. We're going to all get phone calls.
We'll be joining Jeff Green soon enough.
Yeah.
So I discovered the other day that Valve is pretty much the Illuminati because you can't apply to them. They go out looking for you.
That's true. That's a good point.
Job openings posted, sort of.
So what if you need, like, somebody to work in the cafeteria or, like, mop the floors or something? They just, like, go find the best guy available?
Fuck, I'll be the water boy.
Yeah. They should just make a documentary of that and just, like, put Ocean's 11 music to it.
The janitors all have, like, earpieces in and they're, like, looking around behind corners and stuff.
All right, so I'm looking at Valve's job listing right now, their openings, and I'm just going to go through these real quick and see if any of us do any of these. 3D character artist?
No.
Sure.
Animator?
No.
Yes. Totally. Does it mean I get a job? I can do it for like a week and like fake it.
Yeah.
I think they'll ask you to do animation before the end of the first week.
Yeah. Shit. Artist? Possibly.
Sure.
I could be an artist.
What is art?
Loose definition.
What is art?
Hardcore is art.
You get, yeah, that's true.
It is. There we go.
Put that on your application. And then whenever you go there, just be a synchronized swimmer.
Right. All right. Bilingual support representative.
Depends on the language, but sure.
I'm looking here.
Each one of these.
Fluency in the following languages: Czech, Danish, Dutch, Finnish, German, Norwegian, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, and simplified Chinese.
Like, they'd fucking know.
How
sure.
Simplified.
Yeah.
If it were, like, a word or two, I could probably learn those before I get the job.
Yeah.
Okay, economist. No.
Sure, yeah. What's economist? Sure, I can tell you.
999. Just go in there. And...
I don't know. It's got this thing about econometric. Isn't that, like, a top-down view? No. Right.
No, that's...
Film editor. Yes. I could do that.
Yeah, I can, like, scrub, like, between, like, you know, first set now at the beginning, now it's in the middle. See, that's editing.
Character, all right. Motion designer. No, I've tried motion graphics and I failed.
Wait, what? Psychologist.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting to that. Hold on. Multimedia artist / I guess maybe all of us is one. Psychologist. My wife could. Maybe.
Tell your wife to get a job at Valve.
Maybe that's what I should do.
That's your in, man. Go to the company picnics where they invite the family and sneak in.
Duties: provide relevant insight into human behavior in order to shape gameplay and customer experience. And her mentality when it comes to video games is, if it didn't do exactly what she was thinking it should have done, then it's bad.
Right.
But Valve games do that.
Yeah,
so she'd fit right in.
She would fit right in. That's a good point, man.
Software engineer anti-cheat. Yes, if by software engineer they meant they would send us to people's houses that were cheating to beat them up.
Yeah, and like kick
it. That's what backbanning is.
Yeah.
That's more hardware engineering.
Right, VAC banned. Valve actually sends a group of enforcers to your house. All right, software engineer game audio. Have you heard the Nitro Beer Podcast? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're listening to this right now, so.
We got audio skills.
That's all right.
Payment systems. Sure. No.
You're probably not going to handle
like the game, give me though. Money. Steam data mining. That might be kind of fun. I actually might be able to do that. Steam database, but like you are the database.
You stand in a room holding wires.
Oh well, software engineer.
Covered in tinfoil.
No.
Well, it's like the Matrix where you're inside one of these little pods and they just hang up.
They come in. Right. What was that game by that one company? And you're like, I can't remember, and they're like, you're fired. Get out of here.
Yeah, time to flush you.
See, I think Valve should hire all of us to be the sound designer. And by sound designer, I mean we just, like, all do Foley. Yeah. So we all just get in a booth, and we're like, all right, we got to make the Gordon sound when he's walking. All right, Wes, chime in the bullets. Pew, 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 pew. All right, Mark, we need a drop ship. See, this is great. All right, Imran, we need a G-Man.
Does the G-Man just stay silent?
No, but sometimes.
No, he has stuff like, hello, Gordon Freeman. Right.
But that's voice acting. That's different.
The wrong
You're all fired.
In the right place can Wait make all the difference.
In my defense of my skills, let me just bring up.
Okay, there's a guy here named Steam, our Steam Technical Account Manager. If they just included an extra E word there, his entire title would acronym to Steam. That seems like a missed opportunity.
You're right, yeah.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, and they have a regular Steam account manager, too. I manage my Steam account. I could do that.
Yeah, man.
Statistician, no. I'm terrible
it's
with
numbers. It's just numbers. Come on. Nobody knows what statistics do.
So what would it be? I guess it would be Steam Technical Electronic Account Manager?
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
User Experience Designer, I'd possibly...
I mean,
yeah, sure.
Graphic design.
Yeah, look how good Nitrobeard like flows together. You could click on stuff and it goes to other stuff.
And you can tell if they fuck up.
It's like, hey, that button sucks. Move it.
And then web engineer front end and web engineer back end.
Yeah.
Back end.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's nasty. So you be the judge. Could we work a valve?
Could we be one of these 40 things?
You being the judge would be very helpful if you were Valve.
You are Valve, I'll send Gabe Newell an email and ask him to listen to this podcast
for our Foley work and
they're on the actual like work at Valve site where they say, you know, we're always looking at stuff. One of the titles that pops up is typographers, and I'd do that. Like, if I could just be in charge of all Valve's typefaces, I would do it, and I'd do it well.
I think they actually just have like one typeface they need because it's the only one they ever used. So I think they got that covered.
Typefaces. Thanks, Mark, for helping me out here.
What they need to hire me for is, you know, whenever you're driving down like a main street and you go past a credit union and someone's dressed up like the Statue of Liberty, and it says like get more refunds back for tax season. I could do that, but I would dress up like God, who would I dress up like? I could dress up
Health?
Like yeah, the medic. And then I can wave around the medic gun.
So the great thing on that work at Valve site, they just have this picture of a rack of hats. Of course, Valve known by... Oh, wait, no. I guess there's like a hallway down there. I thought that was two separate photos. But Valve, of course, known for their introduction of hat-based economies into the video gaming world. I would gladly be Valve's hat manager. Manager of hat operations.
Hatman.
Arkham. Waka. Arkham Stetsum Asylum. I don't know. I got nothing. Stetsum. All right. So what were we talking about? Why are we going to work at Valve?
So we can get sued by Blizzard?
I mean, I could if Bethesda Softworks is like right near me. I mean, they're in Rockville and other locations around Maryland. So maybe that's what I should do.
Yeah, man. Just go knock on their door and hand them like a one-page resume. Have it have a little bit of like old lasagna on it. Just like they look at it and one part's marked out with an ink pen and written over it. And they're like,
Yeah, I mean, they got tons of jobs. Rockville, Hunt Valley. I keep telling our good friend Patrick Bonaducci, who did our wonderful rendition of us as bearded video game famous characters. So I just keep telling him he needs to just like get an art job down at Bethesda, doing something, and then
they can definitely use art people
and play Arkham Horror a lot. Speaking of Arkham Horror, so I played a ton of Arkham Horror this past weekend. Which is three games. Three games is a ton. Arkham Horror, of course, being the board game based on H.P. Lovecraft's works, Cthulhu Mythos and all that jazz. And so we played three games on Sunday, and we played the first game, just the vanilla box, a straight up Arkham Horror. And the second game, we integrated one of the expansions I had gotten over Christmas, and we played that as second game. And then we had two expansions incorporated for our third game. And, of course, the incorporation of these expansions involves shuffling cards together So, you know, you're kind of integrating the cards from the different packs. And at the end, I decided to take it upon myself to sort all these cards out. So I now have, like, thousands of minuscule paper cuts on my hands.
Oh, no.
From shuffling all these cards, you know, together and out and sorting through them and looking through them. So, yeah, showering that night was really painful. My hands are just, like...
I like this horror game that, like, they don't use, like, normal card stock. They use, like, really sharp card stock specifically for this because, you know.
Well, I mean, when they're, like, 400, you know, like, item cards that your characters can have, you know, they make them tiny and thin. So, but, yeah, they also make them out of razor wire. Maybe that was just a razor blade in my box. I don't know. Maybe I need to talk to Fantasy Flight Games.
This card looks a lot like barbed wire. Oh, no. It is barbed wire.
Oh, no. I have a staph infection. The true Arkham horror.
For a second there... Cause, all right, so somehow randomly, at that exact moment, I was looking at a picture of Keanu Reeves with a stupid face saying, "What if by fly, you fools, Gandalf was actually telling the Fellowship to use the eagles to fly to Mordor?" So, of course, when Mark said staph infection, I was imagining Gandalf's magic staff. And not another thing.
And not the gross one.
Not the gross one. Yeah. So that's... I've been playing a lot of Arkham Horror, and it's great, and y'all need to play it. What have you guys been playing?
I played the video game adaptation of that.
That's Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
And that's Batman. Not Prohibition-era monsters.
Oh, these aren't the same thing. Oh, so
no, these are different things.
Yeah, I've been thinking about getting like an iPhone case that has the Batman symbol on the back of it. And I'm like, I think I'd really love that, but I feel if I took that out on a job interview, everyone would immediately dismiss me.
Yeah.
You should do that. But you should buy some brown felt, cut out a little beard shape, and glue that onto the bat.
Well, that's a good call.
I think like
then it's a custom job. And, I don't know.
I think you can only really be judged on like phone cases if you do something egregious, like put the Confederate flag on, yeah, or put the Confederate flag on the back of it, or like some Nickelback or something.
Just
otherwise, I think people are just going to overlook it.
I was actually thinking about getting a bomber jacket recently, but then I saw the Dark Knight Rises trailer, and Bane had one, so I was like, damn, everyone's going to have one of these.
Just go to a football game.
They're going to be ruined for the next 5 years.
So. Yep.
Get a peacoat. Peacoats are classy as fuck.
I have a peacoat.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Then just
hang the peacoat.
I don't have a peacoat.
And even if you don't smoke cigarettes, just smoke a cigarette under a neon light. And then sound like you live in Blade Runner, like, all the time. That's all I would do. That'd be my full-time job.
Just all right, stand around. Hold on. One sec. All right, so now I'm going to read this in a different voice.
Okay.
Feet. Why does everything smell like feet? Ethan groans, his sleep-addled brain fighting to distinguish reality from the fading fog of his dreams. It's like swimming in molasses, but small fragments of recent memories start to break through the surface.
So you're doing like a Clint Eastwood voice now.
Was that Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, you're doing the Clint Eastwood voice from his Obama
Get country. Off my lawn! That was Clint Eastwood as Batman.
Oh, I thought that was his character in Gran Torino.
Okay, yeah, that too.
Clint Eastwood should have gotten a shot as Batman.
He should have. I agree. I think instead of Michael Keaton, they should have gotten Clint Eastwood. But he wouldn't have fit well in a Tim Burton Batman.
That sort of would have made it more amazing.
Yeah, that would have been funny. That's true. All this magical shit happening beside him, and then he has that gruffled, like,
Right. Right. This is a third edition Batarang. The most powerful Batarang on the earth.
Trying to think of Dirty Harry quotes. That's not the really famous Dirty Harry quotes, but they just wouldn't make sense as Batman.
Well, no one remembers any Dirty Harry movie aside from the first one, like with fond memories in a way. Because there are like 12 of those fucking movies.
That's true. There's more of those than there are Rocky movies.
Yeah.
Just terrifying. Let's see. Do we want to take a break, come back, and talk about what we've been playing?
All right.
Sure.
You can do that? Mm-hmm.
Well, but there's a video game heavy... Nitro Beard cast we've been doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just months and months of just pure, unadulterated video game coverage. But we will be right back with more from our Valentine's Day special. Hope you guys are liking all the Valentine's Day talk.
something something love.
Aww. Everybody, welcome back from the break. It is our Valentine's Day spectacular, and I hope you're all enjoying it. Episode 73. We're gonna play a quick game. We were just on break, and
I'm so lonely.
Brian Belita went off to eat some ice cream.
Well, I'm still eating it.
Well, don't. Well,
stop.
What our game is? We're gonna play a game, and we're gonna play a game with you, the listening audience. Is what flavor of ice cream do you think Brian Belita eats?
Okay. Hold on, let me give them...
Don't even explain...
No, I'm giving them an audio hint. All right, hold on, listen. All right, here we go.
Wait. Should we not listen at this point? I mean, are you going to, sub this in?
I mean, I eat ice cream really quietly. Hold on.
That's his talent. It's like he's repeated this before. I've been told I eat ice cream very well.
I've been told I have the quietest ice cream mouth around.
So again, next we're gonna see what book you're reading based on how you're reading it.
So okay, I mean, are you guys gonna guess?
Yeah, we're gonna guess. Yeah, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Mark, what do you think? What?
Okay. Let's begin. We threw out some ground rules before we began. We all threw out the big three: strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. We don't think Brian Belita is that sort of guy. So that said, I'm gonna throw out blueberry cheesecake.
Oh, wow. That's a okay.
Do I tell you right now?
No. We all three go, give them about a half minute of silence for the listener to yell at the radio.
Okay.
Okay, so mine is going to be, I think, mint chocolate chip.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
And then
that's real good.
I'm going to say chocolate chip cookie dough.
Oh, cookie dough. That's a good call.
Any other guests? Guesses?
Okay.
Right. Can I make a guess?
No.
Biased. So
I'm biased. You're right.
You're not impartial. Okay, now we're going to give about 30 seconds, and you have to scream real loud so we can hear you at your radio. If you're on a bus, that's fine. They'll understand. They'll know because they did it earlier. You know, right. They'll know what you're screaming about. So, okay, starting now. There you go. Okay, that's a good.
That was like 44 seconds. That was like 4 seconds.
That's
that was,
bad.
Like, that was like 11.
But there,
11
video seconds. Games have ruined our ability to tell time.
Yeah,
sorry.
The more I thought
seconds.
About it, that there's not a name of ice cream that would take 30 seconds to say. You know what I mean? So they're just screaming it. But they had a good choice. That's a good choice, listener. Thank you.
Yeah.
Name the fucking ice cream.
I would not have expected.
Pistachio almond.
Joust ostrich.
Barbecue.
You're terrible at thinking of ice cream names.
Oh, man.
Jesus. I need it, though.
Are you kidding? Check this out. Creme brulee beard flavor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what would be the ingredients of the
creme brulee? Okay, so let's see. Yeah. So what, Imran guessed chocolate chip cookie dough?
Yeah.
You sir are wrong.
Oh.
Mark Bradshaw, you guessed blueberry something or other?
Yes, blueberry cheesecake.
You are wrong. Mark, Wes, what did you guess?
Mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip. You too are wrong.
Oh, God damn it.
Guess what, bitches? Vanilla.
Hold on.
That's a twist ending.
Vanilla with a scoop of coffee ice cream.
That's some M. Night Shyamalan shit going on there.
Yeah.
that was the ending to Saw 1. That, like, the whole thing, they dismissed at the very beginning.
Yeah. Ow.
It was vanilla all along.
No, I'm gonna still dismiss vanilla and say it was coffee and feel bad about it. Because my go-to ice cream is vanilla Heath Bar with coffee from Ben & Jerry's.
Heath Bar is damn good in ice cream, but we didn't have any. So, yeah, just vanilla and coffee ice cream. Sorry.
I enjoy my ice cream in sandwich form.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I need my ice cream to be a part of something else, I guess. Like I can put it next to a hot slice of cake.
That's like fun. would you like the ice cream like on a bar encased in chocolate, maybe?
Like an iron bar?
Yes.
I'm asking a legitimate question, Mark.
like a
Klondike bar.
Right.
Yeah, like on a stick thing, like
Yeah. It just has to be
like a gold bar? I mean,
like a
Fort Knox ice cream.
Like the bar exam for
like
illegal
people? Like an ice cream bar with a stick in it.
Now, you know what ice cream is actually fantastic on? Apple pie.
Oh yeah, man. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about.
That's a given though. I'll tell you what I love.
See, I've never actually met a lot of Northerners that think that.
Northerners.
What he means by his damn Yankees.
What do you mean, you Northerners?
Carpetbaggers.
No, so one of my favorite things is there's a nice local place where I work in Westminster, Maryland called Hoffman's. They make really good ice cream, and they make fucking awesome milkshakes. And they make this – the best thing I love doing is a double-thick vanilla milkshake.
Oh.
Double-thick vanilla milkshake and a bag of Utz kettle-cooked chips, plain.
Oh yeah, are they the
that
kind
combination
of,
is the best?
Are the kettle cooked chips? Are they a little bit thicker?
Yeah, a little bit thicker. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Well done.
This sounds disgusting. It's almost disgusting. Amazing. It's like dipping the Wendy's fries inside of Frosty. That's just
how dare you?
No, I'm with Mark on that one.
Yeah,
that's pretty bad. Yeah. Dipping fries is no.
Yeah.
See, but then you get salt in your Frosty, and that sounds terrible.
Right.
Yeah, it is terrible. I don't know why people would. I think people have just saw it like on TV once and convinced themselves it's a good idea.
Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to take a spoon and dip out, like get some Frosty, and then like I'm putting peanut butter onto a sandwich? I just go.
No, here's.
Or keep them separate but equal.
Just wash it down.
here's what you do. You have some fries, right? And you eat your fucking fries. And you got a shake, right? And you drink your fucking shake, and they don't combine.
Just do it as a chaser. Yeah. Oh, speaking of nasty shakes, do you guys have any Jack in the Box around you?
Used to.
No.
Okay. They came out with a bacon.
Nasty shakes.
They came out with a bacon milkshake.
Dang it, man.
They came out with a bacon milkshake.
Right, did I just see they actually milkshake? Did that.
I didn't try it. My friend got one and said it smelled like bacon bits.
Well, because that's probably what it is.
Yeah. They were running a commercial recently where they were selling a burger and two tacos as part of a meal. And the commercial, I think, encouraged you to use the tacos as bread on top of the burger.
Oh.
it's like the double down.
Okay. Yeah.
See, I was taught this from a very early age, is never trust a steak from a place that makes pizza. You know what I mean? Never trust tacos made by a burger company. Never trust fish sandwiches made by the Olive Garden. You know what I'm saying?
And just never trust a digital distribution platform made by Electronic Arts.
Yeah. It all works the same, man. All those life lessons come to fruition.
Before we move on to actual video game discussion, I would like to mention that the internet has been ablaze with talk of the Coke Freestyle machine, and I finally got to see one today in Midtown. And cut a fucking strawberry Fanta, diet strawberry Fanta. I've not had strawberry soda since I was a kid. It's just right there. The future is amazing.
Is that the machine that it can mix anything?
They say it can mix anything, but I didn't really see an option like mix anything. It just has a bunch of different drinks in it.
Yeah.
Like if you want a vanilla Coke, you just press a button for a vanilla Coke.
I'm sure it has preset mixes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's not like you say, hey, I want to put out some
real life. Or is this a fantasy?
Man, a fantasy.
A sea of Fanta.
Sea of
Fantasy. I'm looking at Mark's Fantasy Star 2. Fantasy Star 2. Does that game have a cut line? Or anything?
What?
I don't know. I'm just wondering if there's a way to.
Line?
Yeah. Like, if there's some way to put orange. Because I drank a ton of orange Fanta when I lived in Kenya and South Africa. It's really popular there.
It's orange. You glad you bought a Sega Genesis?
Oh,
you see what I mean.
There's a drink in France called Orangina, but it doesn't look like it looks like Oh, like O-R-N-R-A-N-G-I-N-A.
No, it's Orangina, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Orangina.
I always pronounce it Orangina, no matter
I called
what.
It that for a while, and people would just look at me weird. I'd be like, what? What's wrong?
What's wrong? That's how you say it.
Yeah, and how dare those people look at you like that, like you did some miscreant thing. It's like, they fucking named it that! Look at it!
Right, look at that word. They took the second half of vagina, and they put it on
yeah, just put it at the end of the word orange. Oh, man.
No, I'm with you on that one, Imran. I just still call it Orangina no matter what, all the time.
All right,
I
so
don't care who I'm around. I'm around grandmas, whatever.
Houston, you're just breaking out the vagina.
What?
You're just breaking out the Orangina.
No, it's not Orangina. It's Orangina.
Okay. Anyway. What is
okay.
Fantasy Star 3, Generations of Doom. Fantasy Star 5 was End of the Millennium. So,
Generations of Doom. Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah. End of the Millennium.
Generations of Doom.
No, he hasn't been in a word that literally...
You're just being orange in the middle of a word for no fucking reason. I just say Generations
of Doom. Okay, Mark Brownshaw.
Thanks.
Mark Brownshaw.
Bro... Oh, no. All right, what have we been playing?
I've been playing the Battle Orange Field 3 beta on Orange Gin.
That was so stupid.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry for explicitly.
Like, I feel bad for laughing at that.
No, I have not been playing that. Like I said, I've been playing a lot of Arkham Horror on the board games and still playing Rage. What?
Real games.
Real, you mean video games?
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to say after we've been talking about food for the last hour and a half.
What's weird?
That word, like, oh, we gotta only talk about video games.
we're serious business.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if the listener has been paying attention to this long in this fucking podcast, now this is their reward. Right?
They deserve a medal.
Video game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, I do want to take a second. I want to talk about game I'm playing on iPad, it's universal, so iOS in general, called New Orbit, and it's basically Asteroids, but get this, it's in space.
Was it Asteroids in space?
Yes, I'm just joking. Yeah. Okay. But no, it's Asteroids with kind of a larger plane. I mean, in that you're controlling a ship, and your ship is like, you know, it's a arrow, and it, you know, but there are it takes gravity into account. There are planets. You can land, but the entire atmosphere surrounding it is excellent. All right, Imran has just asked a very, very valid question. I'll allow him to propose it.
Do we know for a fact that Asteroids was in space?
I will say yes for this reason.
This is a good point. It could have been in a cereal bowl for all we know.
I will say yes for this reason. In that period, every fucking video game was in fucking space. That's it.
That's a valid concern. Yeah.
Because they can only do two colors, black and white.
Not Missile Command. Wait, was Missile Command in space?
Missile Command's in space. You're basically on like an asteroid, and like you're in the middle of space, and like they're falling.
If out. Not, the missiles were certainly coming from space.
Yeah, there's definitely.
But I'm pretty sure you were protecting like a moon colony or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you definitely were. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find a video game that was not from space in that era.
Joust. Right.
Specifically, like pre-1984, like arcade games.
So, anyways, this game, New Orbit. by a small little indie company called, I think it's Blackish Games. The game is pretty simple in that you're controlling a spaceship, flying around, top-down view. You kind of drag and hold the finger wherever you want to go on the screen. You zoom around, there's gravity and speed. But the entire atmosphere around the game is really excellently executed. So it feels kind of like Asteroids survival horror.
Oh, okay.
Almost.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat. But so there is voice acting in the game for the characters that there are, but it's obviously just kind of one guy in his basement and he's Finnish or something. So you're better off turning him off and just kind of reading the text that kind of makes the atmosphere that much better. But it's really good and really well polished. Far too short. I really hope they put out more. But if you're looking for a game to play on iOS, definitely pick it up. It's called New Orbit.
New Orbit.
Gets two thumbs up from me, Brian. Old news, Belita.
More like New Orange It. New
Pac-Man was not in space.
How do you know?
Do we know Pac-Man was not in space?
What were you doing the same logic?
That's a good point, yeah.
Because you know what? Ghosts can exist in space.
What about Space Ghost?
Oh, shit.
He's
what is, for the record, guys, we're down like 8 or 9 layers deep right now. Just within our own fucking joke. Like, what is going on? Oh.
But Space Ghost, that name is actually, contrary to popular belief, he's not actually a ghost. He's a live person and a superhero.
Yeah.
And he can fly through space. It's just that his powers are akin to a ghost. He's not actually a ghost.
Space Ghost is a true and honest individual. He would not name himself Space Ghost if he was not a fucking ghost.
What was the name? What about... Why am I now picking up Apache Chief? The guy whose superpower is just growing big.
It's better than thinking of Chief Wahoo McDaniel, whose superpower was like chops.
Just like sideburns?
No,
like karate chops.
Karate chops.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was a wrestler.
Like sideburns.
Jungle Hunt, not in space.
Okay. However, I would say this. The planet on which the jungle was, where is that planet at?
Another dimension.
In space.
It could be underneath another planet, for as far as we know.
It could be inside another planet.
Good point. Shit.
That's the future. Right. Now we're basically Square Enix executives coming up with a plot for a video game.
What year was Jungle Hunt? That was like way too late for this shit. That's bullshit.
That's 82.
Okay. All right. Damn it.
I'm trying to think, did Asteroids have a story? Was there like, you know, did it come up beforehand saying, you were in space? Asteroids intro.
I guess there's also Frogger. Frogger wasn't in space.
Game Boy Color Asteroids intro.
Has there been a space version of Frogger, though?
This is the ship getting pummeled by rocks.
And there is, in fact, a space version of Frogger. Just in case it was curious.
Huh. Space Frogger.
Space Invaders.
That was in space.
But technically you weren't in space. You were a cannon on the ground.
What?
In space.
I thought you were a ship in Space Invaders.
I'm pretty sure they're ships.
Yeah, they were ships. Right.
My entire everything I know.
Yeah, that's a good point, because otherwise the little cannon guy, he'd just fly away and say, fuck you, Space Invaders.
Yep.
And they'd be screwed and say, well, all we can do is fall down. What the hell? So, yeah, that's a good point.
Speaking of, Iron Sky is a movie coming out about Nazis that took refuge on the moon and come back and...
No, fuck you, this is the part we talk about video games. I don't know what the hell.
What about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
Okay,
that trailer leaked today, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I don't know if it leaked as much as it came out.
The problem about this is it has Tim Burton's name attached to it, so everybody says, oh my god, Tim Burton's directing this! And no, he's not.
If Johnny Depp would be playing Abraham Lincoln.
What if Johnny Depp is Abraham Lincoln, and get this, Clint Eastwood is the vampire?
Oh.
Helena Bonham Carter would be playing Abraham Lincoln.
Somewhere. Oh god, she's gonna be in everything.
Yeah.
Helena Obama Carter. I can't. Helena Obama Orange Carter.
Comma Orange.
Comma Orange. So that's what I've been playing. Mark, have you been playing any orange related games?
Yeah, I've been playing El Shaddai.
Is that game orange at times at all?
It's got the color orange in it. Oh. It has a lot of colors in it. Because every time you change a level, it's a new damn video game.
It is a new color?
Yeah, it's a new color.
That seems like a potentially self-limiting game mechanic. There are only so many colors.
God, there's millions of colors. I mean, it depends on like the color palette. It's just the thing. If it was made on a Sega Genesis, then you'd only get like 16 levels. But fortunately, this is on a PlayStation 3, so there's like unlimited amount of levels in this game.
Fair enough. How many levels are there?
Like 7, I guess. Okay. I don't know. But it's like every level has like a different. It's set up so like you're finding your way to this tower and you're going up a tower, and like every level in this tower has its own kind of like art style. And supposedly there's 7. I guess there's 7 layers because there's 7 like angels you're trying to kill. It's a pretty interesting game.
How does it actually play?
You know, it's weird because it's trying to be like both a platformer and kind of like a brawler at the same time. Only it's only like a one button brawler, so you only get like an attack button, and there's only three different types of enemies because you have like one type of enemy always carries around like a sword type weapon, and one enemy carries around a shield, and one carries around like an arrow, and like each one is like weak against the other, so it's kind of like rock paper scissors. So you only have like those, and you're stealing those weapons from them. So it's the combat in it is not terrific, and the platforming is kind of bad. And I can't explain why I like this game other than the fact that it just looks fucking amazing. And, like, as actual video game, it might actually be a bad video game. I can't tell yet. So
you're overwhelmed by the seven pretty colors.
It's a lot of pretty colors. No, it looks like you guys have read, like, Sandman, right?
I've seen footage of El Shaddai. It looks pretty. Looks cool.
It's looks like fucking Sandman. And I can't judge it fairly because it causes a bizarre style. I don't think I can like rationally, but you know I'm going to have to do not a review on it because
you're going to need to bring in a second opinion on that then.
Yeah, probably. I might have to.
There was an Nintendo 64 remake of Asteroids, and in the intro of that, it confirms it's in space.
It confirms that it's in space. Okay, so well now we know. And now
being in space is in canon for.
Yes, at least according to the N64 remake.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. A couple things would have given this away. One is that you're a spaceship, you're flying around everywhere. And the second thing is it's named fucking Asteroids.
And also the third thing is that there's other spaceships. But still,
yeah,
we had to know.
See, if it wasn't in space, it'd be called Meteoroids.
This is the kind of investigative journalism that we do here at Nature Beard. You can't assume anything.
Our press room that we have, where just giant stacks of newspapers we walk by, this is what happens down in the weeds.
Right, then we walk over to a computer and we look at funny pictures.
Right. It's just visuals of Brian just behind a computer terminal, like overseeing what Imran's typing and going, yes, yes. Pointing at the monitor like an infomercial, just, yes, yes.
But hold on. Gifts.
And all this information ever is like gifts of corgis.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Gifts of corgis and then Undertaker references.
Actually, we are the cause of all the corgi results.
It's been an inside job this whole time.
All right, Wes, over to you.
All right, I've only been playing two main things. The first is quick. It's the Jak and Daxter HD collection.
Jaxter
Hitched.
So I know, like, when I got Sly Cooper, I mentioned that I really hated the second two Sly Cooper games, mm-hmm. and I feel pretty much the same way about the second two Jak games.
Yeah, that's. To be fair, I only bought the first Jak and Daxter in HD. So, I didn't buy the full pack.
As an aside, how do people...
They sell them separately?
Yeah, they sell them separately for $15 on PSN.
Oh. As an aside, how do people feel about the second two, like, Ratchet and Clank games? Was the first one good and the second two sucked?
Well, no, to be fair, Ratchet and Clank, this could be a good thing or a bad thing, literally feels like exactly the same game between all, like, 10 of their games. It feels like that series really hasn't changed a lot, if at all. They give you new weapons, but the way you play the game, the way you interact, the way the story is delivered, all of it's identical between all like six games in the series.
Except for that last one, which is just a weird...
Yeah.
New Super Mario Brothers Wii did really well, so let's make the same game.
Yeah, it really did feel sort of wishy-washy, like they had an idea and then just dropped it because they saw how awesome Super Mario Galaxy was. But with Jak and Daxter, it works really well as a high-def game. And I know I've seen a lot of reviews. A lot of people have been slamming it, saying that the textures look kind of jaggy the models look jaggy and the textures don't really look... They look good, but they don't look as good as they should. And to me, that's all nonsense. It looks fine. I mean, to be fair, I only have like a 36-inch TV, so it's not like I'm playing on an IMAX theater or anything.
Right.
But yeah, it plays well. The voice acting's still funny, and the game still plays really well. If you're a fan of those old school, of the way Naughty Dog would design games back in the like Crash Bandicoot days,
it's like a fun game.
Yeah, exactly. It's the core game is pretty brilliant. It is basic platforming, but you know it does what it does really well. But kind of the main thing I've invested time in is Final Fantasy XIII 2, and that game has done one hell of a turnaround based on how much I hated Final Fantasy 13.
Because you really hated it.
I still do. I still hate 13. I hate it enough that I'm glad 13.2 exists, so I never even have to think about 13 again. Like, that's how polar different these games are. But it's what's really weird about that is I know there's quite a few people listening that feel kind of the same way I do about it. They hated 13, but they really like 13.2, and I think it's because they actually put a video game in this one.
That's always good when you're buying a video game.
Exactly, because the first one, it was a 30-hour tutorial and 45-minute-long cutscenes. And it was all nonsense. I hated every person in that game. but with 13.2, I'm still not really big on the characters. I don't care about that. But the game part is established enough that I don't have to care about the characters. You know what I mean? It's kind of like saying I don't care about the good and bad characters in Pokemon. Like, I couldn't even tell you who the characters in Pokemon are, but that's not why I play Pokemon. You know what I mean? It's with 13.2, they did the kind of Pokemon-esque thing where you can collect monsters, which gives you a reason to do random battles. And also, it added a lot of side quests. I mean, you get out of the tutorial in probably the first 2 hours, as opposed to the first 20.
I think there's still an issue where, like, in any game with, like, the first 2 hours is the tutorial, maybe somebody did something wrong there.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, to be fair, have you played Modern Warfare 3?
No, God, no.
Well, exactly, because that entire game is, walk left, soldier! And then you turn left, and it's like, good job! Run real quick, soldier, by holding down the shift button! And then you hold it down, good job, you're a soldier, and you can run! Like that.
Level up!
Yeah, congrats! Be sure to pick up the gun from the table by pressing the F button, and then you're like, you hit the button, good job, soldier, you picked up a gun! It's like, what the fuck am I trained for? Like, you're congratulating me on walking, yet I'm supposed to be this Spec Ops super badass. Like, don't fucking baby me. Like, you know what I mean? It just has that weird feeling. But
to be fair, like, in those games, you can just, like, lay off the controller and just let it happen.
Oh, so. Well, what's really funny is whenever you lay down the controller, is nothing happens.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, sir, you gotta pick up the gun, please. And then everyone just stands around, they're like, come on, man. There's not much time. Then you just still wait back. But as far as it is in Final Fantasy, they actually give you things to do in this one. And it's pretty fantastic because it feels like you're constantly making progress no matter what you're doing. If you're doing side quests, you're leveling up kind of the items you can get. Basically, if you do a side quest for someone and turn it in, you get little prizes. And it could be something like a hat for your monsters, or it could be something like here's an artifact to drive the story forward. So you never really know what you're going to get, and that's kind of refreshing. Because in 13, you knew every second of every day exactly what you were going to get, and that was part of the problem. It just felt like you were wasting your time. Like, oh, I wonder if I'll get another 5-star rating by hitting the X button. And sure enough, you did for 25 hours. And then they unlocked the game in 13, and then you could play it for an hour, and then it was over. So, but yeah, it's a much better game. There's the story's better, but the story's just as convoluted because it has to do with time travel. So every time you do anything, you can go back in time and change it, and then change it back, and then you can change it back, and then it causes a paradox. And you're like, oh boy, this is swell.
I've heard it compared to Radiant Historia, but I've yet to talk to anyone who's played that and Radiant Historia.
I have played both. And
so what do you think?
It's really similar. Because you know in Radiant Historia, you actually have the Historia and...
And the Radiant.
Yeah, and it's radiant. It glows. No, how you can pick which chapter you want to go back to. And then each chapter kind of has its own separating point to where then you could take option A or B. So after you get, 6 or 7 hours down the line, you can go back to where you were 6 or 7 hours ago. And instead of taking the right path, you'll take the left path. And it'll open up a new branch of stuff. That's exactly how it works, because there's a, I think it's actually called the Historia Crux in Final Fantasy 13.2. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, which is kind of crazy now that I think about it. But yeah, works the same way. After you do a chapter, you can go into it and either go back, redo some stuff you did way back when, redo what you just did, or you can choose to branch your story. The best addition to Final Fantasy 13.2 is you can save anywhere. You don't have to go to a save point. It's awesome.
That, That's oddly forward thinking for Square.
Exactly. Like,
it only took them 25 years to figure that shit out.
Exactly. Like, it's that's why, you know, on my Game of the Year list, I put Mario Kart 7 as my number 3 Game of the Year. And people are like, really? This is the 7th Mario Kart, and this is the one? And I was like, hey, they have a good online mode. Nintendo has never had that before. So I think this is Square's version of that, of going, you know what? What if you made an RPG that was actually accessible to play? So it definitely helps. I mean, I'm here to say, you know, if you watch the Giant Bomb Quick Look on 13.2, Brad Shoemaker, I usually agree with him, but on this I disagree, because he says, oh, if you didn't like 13, then you're going to hate 13.2. I think
a decent number of reviewers are taking out the fact that they got caught in the hype for 13.
Yeah.
And reviewed it too well.
Right.
They're taking that out on 13.2. I've not played it, so I can't really say for sure. But just looking at the general consensus about both games,
yeah,
it seems like this game is going to rate lower, even though it seems to be a better game.
It is, and if you're, this is one of those that if they would have just called this Final Fantasy 13, I would have been happy. If this is the game they would have come out with, sure, it would have still been kind of a polar thing. Some people would really want a world map. You know what I mean? Like the same thing that happened with Final Fantasy 10. You know, that's whenever it changed from 9, was the super old school, call to arms for the way Final Fantasy was. And then Final Fantasy 10, which is not one of my favorites, was super linear, you know, kind of have a story going from front to back. It was very direct, I guess is the right word. It didn't feel like you could explore. But with this one, it takes that premise of being somewhat linear and using it to its advantage, by being able to replay moments over and over and switching what happens. That way it opens up new linear paths. So it's good. I mean, I highly recommend it. And I can't remember the last time I highly recommended a Final Fantasy game. So I say go for it.
I'm going to get it, but when the price collapses, because I'm going to assume that's soon.
It'll be $30 in 3 months. Like, yeah. It's one of those games, man. But yeah, it's so much better than 13. It seems like it's not even the same company made it. It's, you know...
Well, it was the first game that they've been talking about doing actual focus testing for, like in America.
You can tell, man, because everything's accessible, it's easy to play, it's not very formal, and okay, now you're going to watch the 37-minute cutscene, and you better pay attention, because you'll have a test on it later, the way that those old games were, where you had to watch hundreds of hours of cutscenes just to get the fucking point of what they're talking about, and even then it's confusing. You know, this time it has a lot of stuff. It's almost like Mass Effect was with a codex. They have a lot of written entries, and you could just read past them. And the coolest feature, and if you want to talk about ahead of the curve, this is the last point, but a very important one. Whenever you turn on the game and you load your save, it says, previously on Final Fantasy 13-2, and shows you a cutscene up until the point where you save the game. So if you drop the game for 9 months and came back to it, you could end up watching a 30-minute long cutscene explaining what the story is so far.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's weird, I guess this is a trend, because Resident Evil Revelations does this too.
See, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Arkham City kind of does this in like the load screens. It'll like show you like the progression of the storyline as it's happened so far.
That's Old Republic does it on the load screens as well. They talk about like where you are in the chapter and stuff like that. But yeah, this one's really direct, because you see just snippets, and they edit it together like it's some sort of soap opera, which I guess it is.
Is this like something that happened like post like Alan Wake, or was there a game that did that before this?
That's what I was trying to think of, and not this directly.
No, Alone in the Dark is what I'm thinking of, the remake of Alone in the Dark, right?
Oh yeah, it did do that.
Yeah.
Deadly Premonition did it as well.
Deadly Premonition did do it. Yeah, that seems definitely like the type of game that would need it, is Deadly Premonition.
It's so thematically similar among every game that's doing it, though. Like, it's always basically the same drama, TV kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so clearly taken from TV that it's kind of amazing that we're only just now getting to this kind of idea.
Right. And it does work so well, especially for these longer games. It's a very welcome addition. But yeah, that's kind of basically what I've been playing. Imran, what have you been doing lately?
As mentioned, I picked up Resident Evil
mm-hmm.
for the 3DS. That game is really good.
Yeah, man.
Like, I'm at the first boss, and I think it's not hyperbole to say it's probably better than 5.
Nice.
Not quite as good as 4. In fact, it's probably not in the same ballpark as 4, but not many things are.
That's true. That was kind of, that was very much a beacon of that era. Like, whenever you think back on the PS2 and GameCube era, that...
It's a defining game.
Yeah, that stands so far apart from everything else.
Yeah. 4 was a game that, like, they spent so much time lovingly crafting, and eventually at some point someone went, who gives a fuck if it sells, just make it good.
Yeah.
And, like, 5 was just complete opposite. Despite being basically the same game, it had basically none of the attention or detail to it. But I think Resident Evil 4 is, or Resident Evil Revelations is kind of a middle ground between the two. There's clearly some what-the-fuck decisions. Like, you have one character that's... Well, for example, when you're playing as Jill, which is most of the game, her ass is prominently displayed whenever you're running.
All right.
Like, in a very tight wetsuit kind of way. And it just, like, that seems kind of unnecessary, but whatever. But then you see the other characters that you have a partner with in Chris's chapter who... Chris accidentally falls down a cliff and hurts his leg. So she's coming down while you're fending off zombie wolves or whatever. And at one point, one of her lines is, my sweet ass and I are coming right back down there.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
It's like she's geared up in camo the entire time, and there's nothing that sexual about her. But later in the game, she comes back in a wetsuit onto the ship.
Ugh.
And for one reason, she's just completely missing one leg of clothing.
Of course.
There's no explanation for it.
Scenes, she disappeared into the 1990s.
And there's a character that like she owes a wetsuit, but it's like zipped open in the front.
Hmm.
And like just large breasts kind of protruding out.
Like heaving, yeah.
It's a fun game aside from this stuff, but it's such a weird thing they did there. But if you're one of the people who's like, you know, I want my Resident Evil to be scary and I want ammo management and I want to be able to, like, you know, if I shoot this guy in the head, that's going to matter.
Right.
Then this is that game.
Oh, nice.
It's less action-y. Yeah. You're not going to be punching boulders.
And that's kind of that's kind of welcome as well, because there was a certain innate sense of danger whenever you know you only have 3 bullets. And you just hope and pray that in the next room you go through all the filing cabinets and find something, you know, but...
I can see it being frustrating, because, like, the reason I'm still on the first boss is I wasn't really paying attention to the various things around the room, so I basically wasted all my ammo, and at that point, if you get too close to him, you will die.
Ugh.
It's a one-hit kill.
Oh.
So I had to restart, because if you run out of ammo, then you're screwed.
Man.
So you have to be
punch
careful.
Guys to death.
I have a knife, and that's what I tried to do, but apparently I got a little too stabbed at me. They just picked me up and killed
well,
me.
Well, overconfident. Have you played it with headphones at all?
No, I haven't, and that's probably what I'm going to do right now, because I'm wearing headphones now, so okay. I figure...
Because I heard that it's... I don't think it's actual surround sound, but I think it's simulated surround sound.
Well, the 3DS has a chip that's capable of 5.1. Not simulated, but actual 5.1.
But actual legit 5.1, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, presumably it should work, because I know Capcom either released or was going to release a game that's entirely based on 3D sound.
Yeah. Wow.
And I remember watching the trailer, and it worked fine on my 5.1 setup on my computer.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Nice.
So, we'll see. I mean, I'm interested to play more. If it completely massively falls apart later, then I'll let you know, but thus far, it's well worth the $40 they're asking for it, and it may have been worth the $50 they were originally asking.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, and it's really funny because tomorrow Tales of the Abyss comes out, and a lot of my friends had 3DSs, and they sold it because there was nothing for it. And it seems now, in a month's time, there's 2, in my opinion, must-have games.
Tales of the Abyss, is this a 3DS or a DS game that just came out later?
It's a PS2 port.
Yeah, it's 3DS. But yeah, and that game's huge, and with a proper Resident Evil. And apparently, and you may be able to talk about this in later weeks, like whenever you get further, but apparently this story is a bridge up until Resident Evil 6?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, because they've been dropping a lot of names that it doesn't seem like it can be self-contained.
Okay, right.
Like, there have been people talking a lot about things that would make sense having seen the Resident Evil 6 trailer. Hmm. What did they be involved?
Interesting.
It's nice to have a Resident Evil story that is not just Wesker, Wesker, Wesker.
Yeah, and now he's wearing more sunglasses, and you're like, oh, great.
So many sunglasses.
He put sunglasses on his guard dogs.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of, there was apparently some clinical research done. I think it was...
Sunglasses on Sundog?
No. They named it was a... Not a cure for leukemia, but they found something, what? And they called it the T-virus. I swear, yeah, like I read this, I think, 2 days ago. I need to find it on CNN. But
this generation has been kind of bad for scientists because they also named some like really important human genome that's Sonic Blue or something like that. After Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh,
no.
They named a bug after Beyonce, I think, because it had like a light up ass.
That's the type of scientist I'd be, man. It's like, you know who else's ass is on fire? Fucking Beyonce, dog. Let's name this the Beyonce bug.
Okay, yeah, here's one I was thinking. A Sonic Hedgehog homolog is one of three proteins in the mammalian signaling pathway called Hedgehog. And apparently this is responsible for some kind of horrible disease. Yeah, apparently it's some kind of horrible, like neuro disorder can really fuck up if Sonic Hedgehog goes bad.
So basically, it's incredibly appropriately named.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's way, way appropriately named. There's also a ZBTB7, a gene which is originally called Pokemon.
I think that was a coincidence, though, because like he broke down the etymology of it, and it seemed to like it just happened to work out that way.
Interesting. Oh man, but yeah, is there any other news that we're forgetting? I have an article I'm writing right now about the Blizzard versus Valve Defense of the Ancients lawsuit, which they're both idiots. That's a spoiler for the article, but both of them are going about it wrong. So
Blizzard doesn't have a case based on the name,
yeah,
but they do probably have a case based on the characters.
Sure, but I'll do a quick version of it. Basically, what the thing is, Blizzard does not want the name Defense of the Ancients. They just don't want anyone to have it. They want it to be a community term. As far as, these are a Dota-style game. This is
that's
Dota.
What they say, but they don't want Valve making money off it.
They don't want Valve making money off it because Blizzard is making Blizzard Dota. So the moment they win the case, they will file a new trademark and get it and then sue whoever uses it. It's so transparent that that's what they're doing. But here's the thing. Valve has more right than anybody to use the Dota name because the original creator... And the third guy that worked on the game, because it's been through three people, so they have the originator and number three working at Valve.
But I don't think they have the... You're talking about Ice Frog, right?
No, Ice Frog was number three.
Okay.
Ginsu...
I didn't think they hired the original.
Yeah, Ginsu has worked at Valve for a long time. He helped make Portal.
Oh.
And then there's a second guy who's now working at League of Legends. But then, yeah, there's this whole weird thing of who gets what and why does it... But the main thing with Blizzard is they're saying, well, Defense of the Ancients is what you call these type of games. And I argue...
Right, the game type, yeah.
Well, and I don't see that because isn't that what the term MOBA is? A multiplayer online battle arena? That's the genre. Dota is a specific example of a MOBA, from the way I understand it. I don't know, I'm just a video gamer, and they're telling me this is what video gamers say. Is they call every game Dota.
I think what Blizzard is hoping for is that they'll get some degree of Valve's profits from this game.
And
like, they probably don't care if they call it Dota 2, but they care
that
if they're making
make...
a bunch of money that they could be making.
Exactly. And here's the thing, Blizzard hasn't done a damn thing with Dota for 7 years. They haven't done anything. They held one tournament in 7 years just because the community clamored for it for almost a decade. On their forums. And I guess we'll throw a $1,000 tournament. I guess this is on to something. And now Riot is cashing in big bucks, man. Crazy money. Making League of Legends. And so the whole thing is just messy. But my whole point is, okay, Blizzard, you know, they have a lot of respect from PC gamers. Why are you going after the one other company that has tons of respect from PC gamers? Like, why is that? Why are you going after Valve? It's not like they're suing Walmart. they're not making a case that's easily like, yeah, I'm going to defend Blizzard, because you're going after Valve. It's like, okay, that's kind of idiotic. But whatevs. That's my take on it. But yeah, I'll have that article posted up probably in the next day or so. I'm just adding some of the language together, and basically it's going to be a 1,200-word rant about how both of them are doing things the wrong way. So it'll be fun. More content on the site. And speaking of content on the site, of course, go subscribe to the Jumpcast. We got an article by Greg John, who is on the Jumpcast. He's kind of broke down the anime industry, kind of the problems going through that. Mark has an awesome new wall abuse up, all sorts of stuff. So
And manga.
Garugamesh.
Mm-hmm. So we hope you all love this Valentine's Day special edition.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the Valentine's Day special, where we talk about all the video game Valentine-related romance stuff.
Yeah, I hope you guys loved all that content that didn't exist, and I think we can all safely say fuck Valentine's Day.
Fuck Valentine's Day.
We love Valentine's Day.
Valentine's. Orange, you glad it's in February? Oh!
I am...
Oh, okay, we're out, guys.
Fucking vanilla.
Yeah, you're eating vanilla ice cream, brother. Okay.
And coffee. And gruel.
And manga! All right, we're out. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.